From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Good morning, happy Monday, and welcome to a playoff Monday. A victory Monday for sure, but we're talking about the playoff-bound Jaguars for the first time in 10 years. It's time for Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and here on Twitter. Good morning, Brian Sexton with our cast. John Osier is here. Ashlyn Sullivan is here. It is an emotional time in Jacksonville right now. Anywhere you go, people are cheering the Jaguars and how far they've come this season. Good morning, everybody. Hey, John, how are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Got an opening thought for you.
All right.
Right? And I know you've got one and Ashlyn's got one, but my opening thought here is we talked last week about Tom Coughlin and what he meant returning. Mm-hmm. And on Friday with JP, we talked on Inside the Jaguars about Doug Marrone and the job that he's done. How about Dave Caldwell, mm-hmm. who has been here since 2013, working on this roster, rebuilding it, suffering through the growing pains, suffering through a year last year where we thought they'd take a step forward and they didn't. But hanging in there and building this roster piece by piece. Congratulations and credit to him today for where this roster is and the success that they have had. I think maybe he gets lost, and maybe he enjoys that. He's not the most outspoken guy anyway. But with Tom and Doug, obviously huge personalities, Dave just kept plugging along, and he has to feel real good this morning about his 10-4 Jaguars.
Well, he has to feel real good about his quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who, with a lot of people doubting and a lot of people saying he was nuts, never lost faith in Blake Bortles. And you can say, well, it was his pick, it was this and this. Well, it didn't have to be that way this past offseason.
No.
He could have easily told Tom or, hey, you know, I get it, this is, but he believed in him. Telvin Smith, Tashawn Gibson, Miles Jack, all these guys, Jalen Ramsey, were here before Tom and Doug took over. So, yeah. Dave deserves a lot of credit for this.
And Brandon Lender, I mean, the list is
sure.
on and on and on with what he has done. How about an opening thought from you this morning?
This team's good. And
I like that one.
Well, sometimes it takes a while to catch up with that. Sometimes a team comes out of nowhere, and nationally you say, well, how are they doing it? Is it for real? Are they just getting there? This team's won 7 of 8 games. The defense is clearly a dominant unit. It has earned its way here. It's beaten Pittsburgh, Seattle. A lot of teams, you can say yesterday's game is a game that they should have won. Yes. But dominating in December, coming out and being up 31-0, those are things great teams do, taking care of business like that. A good team takes care of business, gets in the playoffs. A great team makes it easy, wins 3 in a row at home in the clutch. This team's good. It can go all the way.
And dominates 2 division
sure.
rivals with 1 left to play. Let's say good morning to Ashlyn Sullivan for the first time. You know, I can't help but think, Ashlyn, you show up on the scene, young, first NFL season, and, it doesn't always happen this way.
It does not. I've gotten
Are you taking
lucky.
Any credit for it, by the way?
I mean, I'm not going to be the one to say it, but I think I'm lucky.
Yeah, right. Well, certainly you have to feel the emotion around this place yesterday and the energy that comes with a winning season.
Absolutely. And my big thought right now is the dominating performance of Calais Campbell. Watching from the sidelines, the most incredible thing about it, I think, is he's the first person. When a play doesn't go right for someone, he's the first guy there next to him lifting him up. Recorded 2 more sacks yesterday, 14.5 on the season. And I do recall about 3 weeks ago, someone over there, I'm not going to mention who, said he wouldn't have a sack the rest of the season.
Calais Campbell, John, when you start talking about free agents and Jaguars free agent history, clearly the best they've ever signed. But, you know, when you go back to free agency, which opened in 1993, so what, about 23, 24 years mm-hmm. ago, everyone points to Reggie White as being that big, that best free agent
sure.
signing and delivered a Super Bowl. I don't know that we can compile a list, but I would have to think that Calais Campbell, for what he was paid and what he's delivered, is as good a free agent, just underneath perhaps Reggie White, as we've seen.
Well, it remains to be seen, I think, in order to be remembered that way from a national perspective, this team has to win the Super Bowl. Because Reggie White,
he lifted that franchise
up. Franchise's perception. Before he got to Green Bay, the thought was you can't win in Green Bay. I mean, that's what in 92 or 93, it was shocking when Reggie White went to Green Bay and he lifted that franchise out of the doldrums.
Which is why I put Calais
right. But if
below
this team
that.
Wins the Super Bowl
right.
while he's here.
It's very similar.
When you look back, history will remember him here. I always kind of use the analogy of Sam Mills in Carolina, who had a unbelievable career somewhere else, went to Carolina, and I believe has a statue, and was that sort of impact there. Very rare for a guy to be a defining generational player at two places. Arizona feels that way about him. There's no question that this franchise is going to feel that way about him. And I did think 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I remember.
I thought.
That was a shot from Ashland, by the way.
Perhaps the veteran would still be a leader, but wouldn't have the gas in the tank to finish strong and get to 16 or 17 sacks. I was.
Okay, Arthur. I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction right now. He has 14 and a half. I'm going to say he finishes the season with 17. So I think he's got another two sack game in him somewhere. We'll see. Back to Ashland. Ashlyn, way to go.
Thank you.
Big thing one here before we take our first 60-second pause of this edition of Drive Time. What you got?
Playoffs. A Drive Time morning edition playoff edition. The Jags are in the playoffs for the first time since 2007. And guys, in the fourth quarter when the crowd started chanting playoffs, you couldn't help but get a little excited and think, wow, this is really happening.
The emotion in the stadium yesterday was overwhelming. And I know you're in that really nice, controlled environment.
I heard it was hot out there a little bit.
It was beautiful.
It was nice.
There's a part of the field that's pretty much in the shade all the time. Mm-hmm.
You were good.
Enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed every moment of
good
it yesterday.
Good play by you.
They started early. They kept going. Even when the game was over in the first quarter when it was 14, early second quarter when it was 14 to nothing. You could just feel that the momentum had shifted. But the crowd stayed in it to the end. 10 years, John. I've been through it all. I've seen a crowd that just, they didn't believe they could win. And then I watched a crowd knowing they were going to yesterday. And it was overwhelming to enjoy that with them. In fact, I went to bed at my normal time. I got up and worked out this morning. And I find I'm a little bit tired. And I think that's because that emotion, everybody was wearing it on their sleeve yesterday. It drained me a little bit.
Well, it's you can be around a franchise a long time, as we know. And it's so hard to win. And this franchise has shown in the last 6, 7 years how hard it is to win. And then all of a sudden, it takes off. And I sit next to Mark Brunell on game days. And there was a moment yesterday, I think it was when Peyton Thompson caught the punt at the 1 yard line. I guess it was Peyton.
It was.
Who downed it.
At the 2.
And I looked at him and said, all of a sudden, this team makes everything look easy.
Yeah.
And that's an exaggeration. It's lost games this year. But my, how it's changed. And I think the crowd does feel that. And finally, yesterday, it felt like a crowd that expected to win, but was just savoring the moment. And I don't get to hear very much of the crowd because it's so insulated in the press box.
And the air conditioning is always humming along.
It was nice in the press box. Had a little
you can hear the Sterno cans that are heating the
egg rolls
the food
for lunch.
Up. Yeah, okay.
And a little sushi, I think. But it was I always make a point to walk downstairs through the back staircase instead of the elevator.
Walk with the common people?
And I'm a man of the people, Ryan. And it was cool yesterday because it's about an 8-flight walk. And I'm okay, by the way.
I was just about to say, is there someone to carry your bag for you?
To hear the parking lot still full, to hear, I assume it's the drum line playing drums, to hear the fans still going crazy, and you look out, and the game's been over for 5 or 6 minutes, and it's a party out there. It hasn't exactly been a party every time I've walked those steps in the last 6 years.
No, it hasn't. Now, Jags have a playoff berth. Everyone knows that. We'll find out over the next 2 weeks exactly what that means. Am I the only one that feels a little bit greedy, a little bit let down by the ending of the Patriots-Steelers? I mean, getting back over 500, getting a winning record, getting the playoffs should be enough for this franchise after a decade of not having any of that. And then yesterday I'm bummed out because the Jaguars didn't get the benefit of going to the number 2 spot with 2 games left to play.
They don't need that benefit, but we'll talk about that after the break.
All right. Well, I guess John wants to take a break.
That's a tease.
So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that right now and take a look right there. You see the Jaguars with a 2-game lead with 2 to play. All they have to do to lock up their first division title since 1999 when Ashland was in kindergarten. Am I right about that, Ashland? All right. Good. Good math for you, Sexton. is win next week or have the Rams win next week. I think both things happen. More to come after this in 60 seconds.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Are you kidding me?
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Rolling right along on a Monday morning, the Jaguars 10-4 in first place in the AFC South have clinched a playoff berth. And John, I'm sorry, I got to go right back to you. You said they don't need the benefit of it. Who would need the benefit of a bye week?
You would like the benefit of it, but absolutely the bye week would be great. I was referring to home field advantage.
Oh, I see what you mean.
It would be great for the team to have home field advantage. It'd be cool for the fans if it had home field advantage. This defense can go anywhere and win. Blake Bortles right now, the way he's playing, I believe he can go anywhere and win. I don't get a feeling with Blake from watching him that he needs a perfect environment to do what he's doing. I don't think he necessarily has to have a precise no wind,
okay,
no cold to play well. I think this team travels very well. I can put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Pressure on opposing quarterbacks and speed behind it is the great equalizer in the NFL. This team has it on the level of the 2000, whatever, Broncos, the Seahawks, all those teams. Doesn't mean they're going to get all the way, but it gives them a chance anywhere they play.
I just have to point it out. The Jaguars are second in a stat that people don't necessarily refer to or talk about. Point differential, plus 165. The Rams, who everybody looks at as being that, you know, prolific scoring offense, plus 166, lead the NFL. What it means is, and yes, the Jaguars have put up 40 points twice this year. I get it. But the defense has played at such a high level, holding their opponents down. That point differential is a huge indicator of just how good this football
team
is.
It's an unbelievable indicator. And it's even for great teams, it's rare to blow teams out. It's rare to blow teams out that are outmanned, which the Texans were yesterday. It's rare to put games away at halftime. It's the mark of a team. I get that these guys are flying under the radar, but I think it's six blowout victories, if I'm counting right, out of their 10.
Yes.
It may be more than that. An absurd number of games I've been writing the story the good way in the fourth quarter. Again, I covered a lot of great Colts teams. I don't think they ever had a season where they had six one-sided victories like this. They're usually coming from behind. I just get more and more of a feeling in the last couple of weeks that once we get to the postseason, I think this team's going to win games.
All right, let's
and
travel.
I say plural.
Let's travel back over across the studio to Ashlyn Sullivan for big thing number two, Ashlyn.
Big thing number two is the play of number five. He has completely different quarterback play lately and has really grown into himself. And guys, I can't help but remember early on in the season when he was competing for that starting role with Chad Henne, and it seems like they made the right decision. Yesterday, 21 of 29, threw for 326 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Wow.
You're the quarterback guru.
Well, he passes every test. He passes the eye test. He checks every box. A few things that he's always been criticized for. Accuracy, fairly. Footwork in the pocket, very fairly. Awareness. The first pass he hit yesterday that I remember, the touch pass that wound up down the left sideline to Keelan Cole.
Yeah.
He evaded pressure. He put the ball where only Keelan Cole, you know, He was under pressure when he did it. He was also under pressure on the touchdown pass to Keelan Cole. This kid is standing in the pocket making plays. He's avoiding pressure in a way that you associate with Tom Brady, all the guys who avoid pressure, meaning he's taking a few steps here or there in the pocket. He wasn't running for his life yesterday, but the protection wasn't absolutely unbelievable the way it was against Seattle, and he stepped away from it, made plays. It's easy because of the narrative on Bortles for the first, whatever it was, 56 games of his career to look at this and doubt it nationally if you're not watching him closely. The last three games, he's as good as anybody.
You know, it's interesting. Derek Carr got the big contract, and everyone celebrated. And last year, he had a good year. This year, not so much. Dak Prescott last year, startling performance for a rookie. This year, he's done all right.
Right.
Jameis Winston. I mean, Cam Newton last year, coming off of a Super Bowl year the year before. Yeah, not really good. People were questioning him. Young quarterbacks take time. So it's fair to ask, is what we're seeing from Blake Bortles now just a little slower maturation process? Is the, and look, 143.8 or whatever it was, I get that. You know, that's Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger. But is it fair to see this as being who Blake Bortles is?
Well, it's 3 weeks in a row, and it's, I forget the number now, but it's five or six or seven games that are as good as any that he's had in his career. It's also a trend in the sense of if a couple of balls get caught against the Chargers and Cardinals, then you're talking about a six-game stretch with the only outlier being Cleveland, which was weather, of very, very high level. He's helped by the offensive line, protecting him well right now. I don't know how you can say it's not him. He's doing it with two rookie receivers, a first-year guy. Marquise Lee goes out
returner
yesterday. There was no fourth guy. He's good now until he shows he's not.
Right. And I want to say one more thing. The numbers, and I've been the accuracy guy, right? Mm-hmm. The accuracy issue was one that I always harped on. It's not just accuracy right now. It's ball placement.
Right.
So accuracy is a reasonable statistic. Can I put the ball somewhere where my receiver can reasonably go and get it?
These guys are catching and running right now.
And
right?
He's putting the ball in a spot where they – it's he's putting it in a spot where they can race past the defender and score.
Well, even the pass
– that's better than accuracy. That is money.
A couple – he was 21 to 29 yesterday, I think it was. The interference – I guess it didn't count as an incompletion, but the pass to Mickens in the left corner of the end zone early that he barely missed on was the perfect ball. He was already under pressure, threw it where only Mickens could get it. He didn't get it. They got the interference and went ahead and scored. Also made good decisions on when to throw the ball away. This guy's functioning at a high level. It's becoming fair to say that he's a reason they can advance in the playoffs.
Ashlyn. One more big thing. What you got for us?
The depth of this roster as a whole. At one point yesterday, you had Marquise Lee off the field, then Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, of course, but you didn't really notice because of Keelan Cole and Mickens. They have stepped up in a huge way. Also Leonard Fournette out, but you really didn't notice that either with two touchdowns from fullback Tommy Bohannon. The depth of this roster gives you comfort and confidence with this team.
You know, it was a topic on the practice field. You and I were in conversation on it this week. When you look around, you see... I don't want to say playmakers because I don't know that you point to a Tommy Bohannon and say a playmaker, but you see guys who can get things done.
Touchdown Tommy's not a playmaker, do you?
Well, today he is. Today he is, for
all right,
sure.
Hater.
I think you understand my point. Right. I think you get what I'm saying. Right. But this is your stick.
Right.
So take it and run with it. This roster has guys who can get the job done. And you can't say Jadon Mickens wasn't a playmaker yesterday. The second touchdown, if you go back and watch it, he got open with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a thing of beauty. And people missed it because he's not real tall, and there was a tall safety in front of him. But if you go back and watch the TV copy or go back and watch it on Game Pass, you will see a beautiful piece of footwork for him to get past them and clear the defender to get to the touchdown. Yesterday, it just became so apparently clear this roster is deep.
Well, they're 3-0 without Leonard Fournette. The play you talked to yesterday for Mickens, Blake in his postgame talked about them noticing early on the quickness with which he gets out of breaks. I don't know that he's going to be long-term one of their core three, but he's going to be returning punts, and he's going to be involved in the offense enough where you think, okay, John, is he not going to be one?
Yeah.
Because he keeps defying what you expect. The depth is – you're at a perfect storm situation where the cap has not caused them to lose guys yet. That will happen at some point.
You bet.
But you've got Aaron Colvin, Paul Posluszny, guys who people don't necessarily think.
But Blair Brown has made plays in recent weeks with Telvin's
absence. Dewan Smoot's coming along. I mean, you're at the point now where it's all coming together. The drafts are coming together. It's an exciting time to see, and they have depth in spots where over the course of 4 or 5 years, you might not always have depth. You've got it right now.
All right. We'll take a quick 60-second pause. When we return, Ozone Snapshot and a quick preview of Jaguars All Access this evening at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. Very special guest. You'll want to be there in person, and if not, you'll want to have it on TV. Back after this in 1 minute.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this pep up.
And on the field.
You can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided, behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Just saying the word playoffs brings a smile to my face for the Jaguars. They have a spot linked up. Will they play it here in the stadium? We'll find out. Sure seems like a good bet. They have a 2-game advantage right now on the Tennessee Titans. Jags win next week, division theirs. Titans lose next week, division to the Jaguars. You got it. 2 games left, 2-game lead. You do the math. And we go back to Ashlyn Sullivan to do Ozone Snapshot. Ashlyn.
Good morning. First Ozone Snapshot, Jeff from Jacksonville. Clowney said our quarterback is trash. Sounds like a type of sour grapes a former 2-time division winner getting swept out by the Jaguars would have.
Nothing is sometimes the right thing to do and always a clever thing to say. He should have said nothing.
It was a ridiculous comment. It was silly. And
for a really good football player, shutting up would have been a much better decision.
The only reason I mentioned, I included this email. You've got back-to-back weeks now. Guy from Seattle, I'm drawing a blank. Called him subpar.
Oh, Earl Thomas.
He's not those things.
No.
And sometimes it takes a while for people to catch up. I don't think it bothers Blake very much. He's been able to sort of let all this roll off, and he's proven wrong in the field. So good for him.
Sometimes, I was watching NFL Network last night, and they had Jarrell Casey on in the Titans locker room, and he was talking about how disappointing it was to lose to two sorry teams like the Cardinals and the Niners. And you thought, you shouldn't have said that because you look sorry right now. Just say nothing. Give them some credit and go get on the bus.
Right. I sort of smirked at the clowny comment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Blake probably did too.
Yeah, you got it. Ashlyn, what else you got?
Number 2, Ryan from Saxonville. The Jags are a serious threat to go deep into the postseason, and Bortles' recent play is a big reason the Jags are a legitimate statement. I'll take things that everybody predicted in August for 500.
Well, and it's a statement that I made in something I wrote yesterday. He is a big reason that they're a threat to go all the way. And nobody would have said it in August. And, credit to him and credit to this team, the players, the staff for legitimately being able to cut out the noise. Every team says they're cutting out the noise. Not every team can do it. It's a remarkable story, and it's really one that's been developing for about 2 months and is exploding right now.
Top-rated quarterback in the month of December right now. 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. I think the passer rating's north of 130.
Right. And you really can't talk about it enough, considering in August
he was benched.
5 interceptions in a practice. Literally nobody believes it happened. The media covering the team, myself, and probably you, probably a lot of people, assumed that he would not be the quarterback next year.
Right.
Assumed that.
Just look at all the Eli Manning stuff that was bantered about him.
Close to a lame duck situation, and he has, to his credit, a lot of guys, just that narrative being outside, I don't want to say would have crushed him,
right,
but would have prevented this from happening because the confidence would have been gone. He was always a confident kid. I thought last year perhaps that was going away a little bit. An unbelievable show, I think, of mental strength as much as anything else for the guy.
Well, and I can't help but notice he's the exact same kid at the podium as he was when he wasn't winning.
Always
when he
has
wasn't
been.
Playing well. So that alone tells you what a good job his parents have done raising him. Back to Ashland for more Ozone Snapshot.
Final snapshot. Jeff from the Rutland Frontier. So win next week, clinch the division, and rest the starters against the Titans.
Yeah, you know, and isn't it wild to be even thinking about that sort of thing around here?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
But it will be a factor, and it's time to talk seedings as we go along. I think first things first, you win next week, and then you see how it plays out. But in talking to PCAB, our friendly producer, they may not be able to do that anyway, because you may have clinched the division by the time you go into that regular season finale.
Right.
And you may feel like New England and Pittsburgh are going to clinch those spots. But when you're playing, if that game is at 1 o'clock and the other teams are playing at the same time, you won't know for sure that those teams are going to win. So there may be a tricky thing with, look, there's no way we can really rest these guys.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, if there's an upset, you can't go into that last game thinking, so it'll be a fascinating narrative or concept to talk about as we move forward.
Steelers play at Houston and then host the Browns. And the Patriots host the Bills and the Jets, who are starting Bryce Petty at quarterback. It doesn't look plausible, but you never know what happens.
But so, in the NFL, you can't assume
you can't. No, you certainly
especially
can't.
Especially Jets-Patriots. I mean, that's a – we all saw the Jets. This team hasn't – you know, all these things come into play. You can't risk a fluky thing happening.
So, Jags All Access this evening, Paul Posluszny.
I'll click
what a
that.
Show. Yeah, I think a lot of people will. I talked to him after the game yesterday. And he didn't want to talk. You know, the last couple of weeks, he's not really been as open to telling you anything as he has been over the last couple of years. And he just doesn't want to make this too big an issue. But the smile on his face and the look in his eyes yesterday gave away the fact that he is incredibly grateful to be where he is right now with his football team in the playoffs.
Well, here's
first
why,
time in his career.
Here's why it's a pertinent topic. And I understand. I've known Paul for 5 or 6 years. I understand that he doesn't want to make it about himself, but it's not him who wants to make it about him. It's his teammates who are so happy for him, and that's the cool part of the story. These guys, you know, you don't play for other people necessarily, but boy, are they happy for him when they see him get to experience these
things.
Well,
and if you know the relationship that he has with Telvin Smith, remember when Telvin's brother was murdered and he went with him to Tifton for the for the funeral before they joined us on the road for a road game that week. You know they have quite a bond. Find that video of Telvin Smith in the locker room yesterday. It's a great moment. So Paul will join Calais Campbell and crew tonight at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. It's a 7 o'clock show. It'll be on CBS this evening. Don't miss it. If you can be there in person, it's going to feel like the crowd at the stadium yesterday, I'm sure, up and down the streets of Avondale. This is no longer limited to just Mellow Mushroom. It's now an Avondale experience. It's what happens when you're 10-4 and headed to the playoffs. That'll do it for Jags Drive Time on a gorgeous Monday in Jacksonville. Made all the better by that right there. 10-4 Jacksonville team headed for the postseason. Have a great Monday and a great week. We're back for Jags Drive Time with head coach Doug Marrone Friday morning, 8:30, right here on TuneIn Radio.